Thanks for downloading this episode of the Simcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching for the Simcast wherever they get their podcasts. The Simcast on RS1.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Simcast, your weekly source for occasional sim racing news and general tomfoolery and off-topic discussion. Believe it or not, it is episode 32 of our 2022 season.
Yeah! And
you've already heard him already. Mr. Louis Satterley is here.
Hello.
And because we still haven't changed the locks, Mr. Jordan Groves is here as well.
I mean, don't act like the locks changing would keep me out. Like, I'd find a way.
He's got a point there, Ben.
Life finds a way.
Lewis, remind me to take the teleporting ring away from him before the end of the tonight show. Anyway.
You have to catch me first.
For God's sake, Spa, take the teleporter away.
This is the part where I get angry messages from Matt about how I'm talking about teleportation, and I'm not referencing Star Trek in any way.
Well, I just did for you, so you're welcome.
Yeah. There will be no beaming up Scotties. Anyway,
as long as we don't fire at Will, because I'm still trying to figure out what the heck he did wrong for us to fire at him.
I know, right? Man, that's an old joke.
Jesus.
How are we this evening, gentlemen?
Well, I'm a little bummed out not really bummed out. I'm more anxious to hurry up and get the show wrapped up so I can get back to watching sprint cars. It's the biggest event of the year. The Knoxville Nationals, for anybody who doesn't know. It's night number one of four. So, gotta see who gets into the main event tonight.
Yes.
And tomorrow night, aka live, or when you folks are listening to it, it'll be night number two. So the second half of the field will be racing tonight as you're listening. So, yes.
Yes.
Over 100 cars entered. 106, to be exact. All tried to make a 24-car feature field.
There's going to be some heartbreak with that.
Oh, there's a lot of heartbreak with it, all right. But it's the Knoxville Nationals.
Yes.
Biggest sprint car race in the world. Bunch of Aussies are there, actually. It's the first time they've come up since the onset of the pandemic, and I think there are a couple Englishmen in there as well for Jordan to cheer on. See, they're more closer to being in NASCAR world than you are, Jordan.
Ow.
Yeah, I'm coming in with the body slams right now.
Jeez.
Anyways.
Yes.
That's Jordan, as hostile as I'm going to get towards Jordan tonight.
Jordan's had enough body slams this week.
He has, too. He's been having a rough go on the sim racing lately.
It's how it goes. One week, last week, was really good. Mm-hmm. This week, I can't say that. Clown show. There you go. That's a better way of putting it.
Yeah. You put on your clown shoes, okay? Well, there's a reason why. Ben's singing that in the background, and you don't even know it.
Like, I've never witnessed so much violence on a sim racing track than the violence that's going to be experienced at something we're going to talk about later, but that's foreshadowing.
Yeah. That's...
I hope not physical violence, just
on air. Oh, no, it will be.
Okay, well, then.
But we should... I'll do some bit of history. The last time I saw this much violence near a racetrack, it was at an Applebee's in Indianapolis.
There it is. I was waiting for one of us to make an Applebee's joke.
That's probably the only thing that restaurant is good for, is violence outside of it.
I was quietly sitting here trying to come up with one.
You were too late.
Yes. Anyway.
Something Applebee's.
Something.
There we go. We've made Star Trek and Star Wars references on this one.
This is excellent.
Yeah, this is gold.
This is going to turn into the other show. anyway, this is the Simcast. We do occasionally talk about sim racing news. Remember to follow us on Twitter at Simcast Radio. Tell us what you're thinking about the show using the hashtag SimcastRSL. And of course, us three and Matt are all members of the Big Motorsports Collective. So before we start to get into violence on a racetrack, and I promise we will clarify what that means later, there was a bunch of R Factor 2 news this week, wasn't there, guys?
Yeah.
Indeed.
There's the indeed I was waiting for.
indeed.
At first, when they started announcing these things, which they promptly did right at the very beginning of the month, they told us that we were getting a new racetrack, Gateway, woohoo, that was fun, exciting, yay. One more race that we put onto the IndyCar calendar or NASCAR calendar, depending on what you prefer to use the sim for. And then the following announcement was Mini Coopers, Mini Cooper S's, the old-fashioned little tiny one, which I was like, okay, yeah, that's great, that's exciting. And then the next announcement was the Caterhams, the Caterham Academy car, actually. And I was just like, okay, so I see we're not going to get anything real major with this pack. And then they decided to make the Caterham free. So I was holding my breath a little bit for something of more substance there. And then the BTCC Hyundai i30 was announced, which was like, hey, all right, get more good stuff. And then, Jordan, what was the reaction when you saw the livery? It was
pasty power, because it's the livery. It comes with, obviously, these are all the 2021 cars, not the 2022 cars. But because it's the 2021 cars, that meant we got the Ginsters livery. Yes.
So that made it all the more exciting. And then the day of launch, they hadn't mentioned anything else. It was like, oh, so we're getting a Mini, a Hyundai, and a track. But hold on, there was more that they announced on that day. We got the Ford Focus ST British touring car as well. So huzzah! We got three cars out of that one. Granted, they're all touring cars. Two of them from the modern era, one from the older one. And we got a racetrack. So that made it pretty spectacular, in my opinion. So it looked like it wasn't going to be much out of it, and then turned in great. So Jordan, you've tried these things, yes?
I've tried all of them, yeah.
Yes.
But I mean, I had to get the pasty power. So, I mean,
yeah, like, I figured you would.
And the combination of getting the pasty power Hyundai and the Focus British touring car, which is personally my favorite touring car as a Ford fan.
Before you carry on with that, actually, if anybody goes on to Race Department, you can already download Ash Sutton's paint scheme for this year and his teammate. Hello, Ash. We know you're a friend of the show. So, hello.
Yes, I was wondering how long it would take them to do that.
Literally, I went on to Race Department yesterday just to see what was new for sports car skins to download. And instantly, that was the first thing I was like, wow, one day. One day.
But so I've tried all of these. I'll start with the British touring cars because, unsurprisingly, being more additions to the British touring car lineup, they're both front-wheel drives and they both feel pretty much similar to the front-wheel drive touring car that we have so far, which is the Toyota Corolla. They're both very fun to drive. I like them both. I liked all the other rich touring cars we've got so far, and these are no exception. The only slight disappointment I have with this is that the Ford should have been because for those of you who don't know, British touring car largely have the same engines in them. They're like a spec engine provided by, it's a Toker engine. However, they are eligible, some teams, to use different engines. And this one is, like the Ford, should have a Mountune engine, if I remember rightly, or what's a slightly different engine than the rest of them. And yet they sound exactly the same and they shouldn't. So that's a little bit of a...
It is a bit of a letdown.
It doesn't really impact the driving, but the immersion, yeah, like, it should sound a little different. But it drives bloody brilliantly.
Considering this is R-Factor 2, I would assume that's going to get updated probably next month or the month after.
Yeah, we have seen them do specific sound adjustments to some cars. So yeah, I would hope that they might do that. And of course, with both of these touring cars, they come with all of the liveries that were raced on those cars last year. So for the Ford, for example, you get Ollie Jackson and Jake Hill's liveries, as well as Jess Hawkins, a couple of others that I'm not remembering right now. And with the Hyundai, you get the superior pasty power car, as well as some of the, like the Draper Tools cars by a team that I'm not remembering. but yeah, they're all great. The next car I'll talk about, I guess, is the Mini. The Mini is
now. Let's save that one for last.
Okay. Okay.
And you should know my motives on why, but we'll save that one for last.
Okay. Let's do the Caterham next. The Caterham drives how you would think. There's a lot of sliding involved. It's a lot of fun.
Which, if I'm not mistaken, based on other sims, that is the fastest way to get that car to go fast anyway.
Yes, yes. And even if you wanted to not do that, good luck. So, yeah, that's a very good car. And I like the fact that they brought it in free, as this is kind of starting off as like an entry level for getting into more kind of club racing. And, you know, it's kind of on the rung up to British touring cars. So I like that they added that in for free. However, it has become, and I am including electric cars in this statistic, my least favorite sounding car in all of sim racing. Purely because, like, the actual engine sounds great. However, every time you hit the brakes, there is an ear-piercing brake squeal.
That dwarfs
the sound of the engine. Like, I can't imagine that's realistic. It's horrible. It's like you're slamming your face on a chalkboard. Like, it's...
Well, in fairness, if I slam my face on a chalkboard, it's going to be more of a thump noise, not a squeal.
Okay, like dragging your face, dragging your teeth across a chalkboard, you know, something like that. It's so bad, and you can't turn it down either. I've tried tweaking every setting I can find, and you just can't turn it down. It's so bad. But yeah, other than that, it's fun. But maybe just drive it on mute and pretend it's electric. onto the track before we get onto the car.
Yes, please.
Gateway is, as you would expect, I've driven this track a lot in iRacing, and it's very familiar to me in some cars, I guess. I'll get onto that. It's captured great. Everything looks really believable. You've got the day-night transition, which is great because most of their races there are run at night. I haven't driven the road course because it sucks, but it's there if you want it, I guess. But my only criticism isn't really with the track, it's with one of the cars. I cannot for the life of me get the IndyCar to go around there in any manner of which that it should. Like, I can't carry any speed. Like, if I'm mid-corner, I go to put back on the throttle where I should be getting back on the throttle, and where the, more importantly, where the AI are getting back on the throttle, and I'm dying a death of 1,000 deaths. So it's a little bit frustrating. I know oval racing is still somewhat new to iRacing, to R Factor. I know they've got the Indy Oval and there are some mod ovals, but this is one of the first officially made shorter ovals, and I hope they work on this to make it better. But it's mind-boggling and massively infuriating when you know how the car should handle around there and it just won't do it. However, I have had a lot of fun driving something else at Gateway, but we'll talk about that in a second. So on to the Mini, Lewis?
Yeah, let's go to the Mini. I think the anticipation is built enough for the Mini.
The Mini is as fun as you would imagine it is. It's having watched a lot of Mighty Minis, Historic Mini Racing, and British Touring Car Support schedules, and etc., and the Goodwood Revival, for example. They drive how they look like they should drive based on what you see from the outside, and by that I mean sideways. It's it's amazing that like they've communicated that brilliantly, and I think it's just very well done, and the AI are very, very good as well. Like they drive it the same way. There's a little bit, if you don't have the AI turned up high enough, there's a little bit of like they like to twerk. So they'll get off the brake and on the brake quite rapidly entering a corner, and because the car is so light, the rear will lift up a bit and it looks kind of Megan Thee Stallion-y. But it's a lot of fun. And my new favorite combination in sim racing is these cars at Gateway. I don't know why I'd fought to do oval racing in these, but if you get a pack of like 30 minis and you start last, it is... It's absolutely brilliant. The AI do it fantastically. Mm-hmm. They're diving to inside of people. They're trying to break the draft like it's Indianapolis. They're banging door handles off. It's bloody brilliant. So
yeah,
I did not expect to say the thing that I recommend the most out of this content drop is Minis at Gateway.
Yeah.
But it's Minis at Gateway.
So I just want to confirm that what Jordan's saying, because we were in a Discord call together and he shared his screen while he was doing this, and it was absurd. Just it sounded absurd because it's a bunch of minis, so it sounds like you're in a pack.
Sounds like a swarm of bees, right?
Yeah.
A swarm of bees inside a vacuum cleaner, yes.
Yeah.
Second of all, I wasn't expecting the AI to literally dive into a corner like they were, or dive out of line to get into a draft. It was actually quite impressive.
Yeah, it's really refreshing to see that the R Factor AI, albeit short track oval racing is a relatively new concept for R Factor 2. They've really got it working, especially even with cars that you might not think would do that. So,
also, Jordan, tell the listeners how many times you rolled the Mini.
Oh, several. A good. The Nordschleifer was the best one, because being a small boy, this Mini is not best friends with high curbs or going sideways. Or going sideways over tall curbs. I might have rolled 5-6 times in 1 hour, something like that. which is good for even for me. That's quite a high number. I'm quite proud of that.
So remember, you rolling the Focus as well at one point.
I didn't roll the Focus.
No, I did.
Yeah. No, I did roll the Focus in a crash. But that was another thing I meant to mention about the British touring cars. So when they released Donington a couple of months ago, whenever it was,
last quarter,
there was a thing where the corner coming onto the back straight, which name I never remember. I'm a terrible British person. Every lap you would go through there, the AI would hit that curb and would roll completely unnaturally. Whilst I didn't experience that problem at Donington, I'm now experiencing that problem with the AI doing it at Paddock Hill Bend at Brands, which is quite scary when you come around the corner fully committed in a car and suddenly find the Ford upside down.
Hilarious. So one thing I really want to do now, because I just downloaded it just before we started the show, so I haven't had a chance to do any of this content yet, but I really want to take a Mini and just nail the uphill curb at Lime Rock.
Yes.
That would do it.
Yeah, I just want to take the corner wrong for all the right reasons and just nail that sucker and see how many times I can roll it up a hill. And then, once I get to the top, roll it back down.
Yes. Fine. It's a unique way of soapbox racing, but sure.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So besides all the new content, was there anything updated that would be interesting to mention? Or
there's a new track limit system, which is quite interesting. Yeah. So they're kind of going the way. So you might remember people who actually race on RF2 more than I do. So Lewis, for example, might know about how strict the track limits have been in the past.
Well, I was going to say, actually, they released this a couple months ago. I think it actually was part of the release candidate, which I am a member of, so this is probably why I know a fair bit about it and why it started dinging me randomly, which really blew my mind. But before, it was pretty relaxed. I mean, you really had to go off the curb. Like, I'm thinking 2015, 2016 IMSA at COTA going off the curbs. Type of penalties, which everybody knows means no track limits on the exit of corners type of thing. But now you can pretty much make it as strict or as lenient as you want, and you can make it to where you can have as few as 5 points, I think it is, or a maximum of however many you want, really, for corner cuts.
Yeah.
That's pretty much all I got. You were wanting to know how strict it was.
Well, that's pretty much what they've added. So there you go.
Yeah. So I know Railroad 2.0 was also introduced to the masses, which that was part of the release candidate program before as well. So yeah.
Yeah. So lots of good things on the R Factor 2 side then.
Yes. And the just a quick mention of the prices for these things as well. Oh, yeah. So the entire Q3 pack, so the Mini, the Hyundai, the Ford, and Gateway, obviously the Caterham being free. So all of those things are available for about £13.61. There's a separate version, which is just the two British touring cars, the Hyundai and the Ford, for £7.60. And then the Mini on its own is like £4.21. And then Gateway on its own is £6.73. So it's cheap. If you're going to get all of it, it's cheaper to do the whole pack. If you just want the British touring car stuff, it's cheaper to just get those two. And reiterating something that we said regarding the cost of these things before, that and there's a lot of people who are British touring car fans who've been saying, oh, it's going to cost so much to get all of the cars. You can get the Hyundai and the Ford for £7.60, whereas an equally high quality sims such as iRacing would probably charge you about £14 for one of them. So I kind of get the criticism, but also it could be a lot more expensive if they wanted to make it that way.
Absolutely. And anybody who's wondering, in American dollars, that is $16, and I think 65 cents is how much it costs for the all-in pack.
$16.34, to be precise.
The 34, there it was, yes.
The pound is terrible right now. No, but yes.
Dollar is not much better.
Well, it isn't.
Apparently,
really
we're doing far right worse, so.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, if you are the R Factor 2 inclined, be sure to check out that stuff. Moving on swiftly, F1 22 recently, and this is still kind of ongoing, announced that they are going to be bringing the cross-platform multiplayer to the title. This is something that I believe they had in the previous one.
No.
They did not?
They had cross-generation in the previous one, that's so you could play PS4 to 5, 1 to Series S, but not cross-platform.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of. Yeah. So with this cross-platform, that means that if you have the game on PlayStation or Xbox or PC, head went somewhere else there for a second, you can pretty much race against anyone else, what it boils down to. They are doing a couple of public tests. One was last weekend, and one is coming up this weekend. So if you look in the social race and two-player career modes, you'll be able to play with other people on other platforms, but ranked play is not supported yet. The final launch of the whole crossplay thing is yet to be determined, but this is something that we saw EA kind of do with the last Grid game, Grid Legends. You know it's bad whenever I can't remember which Grid came out last. So, yeah, this is, of course, following, like, I know we talked about MotoGP 22 last week?
Last week, if not the week before, yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I know we talked a little bit about it a couple of weeks ago, I think.
Yeah.
I know, I think. Therefore, I am.
Yeah. We talked about MotoGP 22 having similar functionality, except for a PC wouldn't communicate with the PlayStation and Xbox version, so it's just the Xbox and the PlayStation version that you can do multi-platform support on, cross-platform support on. Yeah. So if you are someone who plays F1 22, first of all, hello. Second of all, be sure to check that out if you are interested. Again, the next beta session is coming up on this weekend, starting on Friday, August 12th. I don't think we really need to say anything else about
that? Well, no, I think the only thing you could really add to that is that this will really help the online scene of F1, because there have been quite a few instances of there being very low lobby counts when they've been confined to racing with their same platform. Mm-hmm. Whereas I've seen clips during the crossplay testing where lobbies were filling up massively. I know probably there was a lot of people jumping on to see whether it would work, so that might inflate it a little.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is the way that the gaming industry as a whole is going to just have to go in the next few years. More and more games now are becoming cross-platform. You know, the years of console wars and stuff like that between people is just... It's just a thing of the past now. Not just with like what platform games release on, but who can play with who.
Yeah,
and yeah, a united sim racing community is always a better sim racing community. So, I am looking forward to this.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mostly because it means I can go and kill my brother because he plays it.
Yes. So to continue on with Jordan's point, who kind of stole it away from me a little bit there through no fault of his own, because you cannot read my mind. But the cross-platform thing, it's just don't start. So the cross-platform thing is long overdue, and then basically he hinted at it already. It's just that in this day and age, if it's not already there, are you even actually making video games at that point? I mean, I can kind of get it for instance, a Forza or a Gran Turismo. Those are for strictly their own consoles, and you're probably never going to see those ever become cross-platform. But in this day and age, if it's not cross-platform pretty much from the get-go, what are you doing? And this isn't just for racing games. This is for everything, really. Especially the next topic.
Yes, thus is the life of gaming, where anymore it shouldn't matter what platform you're playing on. But digressing. So
I just have the meme of Mr. Incredible going in there like, gaming is gaming!
I had to kind of remind myself of what scene you're referencing there for a second.
Yeah, when he's on the phone and gaming is gaming! But that's not actually what he says. It's just a meme that obviously dubbed over what he actually says.
Math is math. Isn't that what
the
actual line is? Okay. Welcome to the Simcast. We do occasionally talk about Pixar movies from the early 2000s or the late 2000s.
Or in another case, non-sim racing games.
Yes. So, here on this sim racing podcast, we're going to talk about Call of Duty.
Which must be a first.
This has to be a first. So, I know very little about Call of Duty. I'm just going to put that
I
out
weirdly
there.
Do, so this might be okay.
Yeah. So,
here comes Jordan to save the day and inflate his ego.
Oh gosh, it's already small enough recording booth. We don't have the size for Jordan's inflated ego in here.
That's why
you're the one who keeps not changing the locks.
That's why I keep my head half out the window.
Matt told me he was going to do it this time, but
yeah,
digressing. So I'm going to give a layman's perspective, and Jordan, feel free to correct me at any point.
Will do.
So there is a new beta for the next Modern Warfare 2 game that's coming out, which I'm pretty sure there was a Modern Warfare 2 already, so this is a remake of that game, or is it the...
In the mid-2000s, there was Call of Duty 4, which was Modern Warfare 1, then there was Modern Warfare 2, and then in the last 5 years or so, they have kind of rebooted the franchise and had a Modern Warfare 1 a couple of years ago, and now this is Modern Warfare 2 again.
So, they ran out of the... Yes, got it.
Yes. After Black Ops 78, they decided to go back to what they were good at.
The last time I paid any attention to Call of Duty, it was guns and space, and then it was kind of like, okay.
Yep. That was the downfall.
Yeah. Anyway.
According to Jordan, that checks out. Okay, fact checking, keep going.
Yeah. So, much like on racing games, you have different track maps that you need to learn. On first-person shooter games, they call them maps, but I guess they're basically... would arena be a better...
Maps is the general term that they use.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how to best describe this if you have no knowledge of what Call of Duty is.
Yeah.
But basically, it's like a map where the first person to kill each other game takes place. And for some reason, and I'm hoping that we can get into this a little bit, it was recently announced that there will be a Grand Prix map in the next part of the Modern Warfare 2 beta. Which is weird, because they specifically mentioned that it is the Monterey Bay Grand Prix in Singapore.
The Marina yeah. Bay, yes.
The Marina
yeah. Bay. Well, they say, right, this is where licensing becomes a thing, because
yeah, this is where I was starting to question that.
Yeah, so there is in no way any tie between Formula One and Call of Duty in any way. There's no tie even within Singapore and Call of Duty. Mm-hmm. However, it just is the Marina Bay Street Circuit, down to like the trackside objects. There's the famous three building with the swimming pool on top hotel in the background, which is on fire because Call of Duty. There's the Ferris wheel. There's the
which surprisingly is not on fire.
No, it's not. Which it's remarkably composed. I'm sure the end game will see that rolling around chasing players like the beginning of Indiana Jones Raiders of the Lost Ark. However, but like it even goes down to, if you look really closely, like you can see pit garages and there's like the names of other garages. And if you look even closer, you can see the Singapore Grand Prix track map is there.
Yeah. Like,
they have done a terrible job of hiding what this is supposed to be. And this map, I believe, is even called Marina Bay Grand Prix, even though there's no association to Singapore here, yeah, like officially anyway.
And did you say that there's literal Formula cars?
Yeah, they look terrible. Yeah, so
they look kind of like Super Formula cars in a way.
Yeah,
that's what they're trying to get away with, but they look terrible. They look way oversized.
Yeah, they
the tires look incredibly small.
But like there are cars in the pit garages. There are also going to be cars like driving past on the start finish straight, as if this wouldn't be a red flag situation, having a war breakout in the pit lane.
But, I mean,
there you go. I guess if this was NASCAR, then it might be all right.
I was going to say, it sounds right up there with NASCAR.
Something Jetta GP earlier this year. Something.
No, that was several kilometers away, but you never know.
I'm just clicking through the little trailer here, and I am seeing a totally not Mercedes pace car.
It's the Mercedes, isn't it? It's like NHRA levels of debagging things that are very obviously what they are. Sorry, I had to get in some
why,
kind of
why do you NHRA. Have hurt me so much?
Because it's fun. but yeah, this is, I would say it's unprecedented, but we have seen, like with Call of Duty in particular, they've started making more and more interesting kind of map concepts. Like in the last game, they had a map that was in the middle of a football stadium, for example. And this isn't even believe it or not, I think VAR was kind of not really needed to determine who was shot in the head. There you go. But this isn't even like the first link between Call of Duty and Formula One we've seen before, because Lewis Hamilton was actually in one of the old Call of Duty games about 10 years ago.
Wait, what?
Yeah, he was laser scanned into it. It's him. His name is like Corporal Hamilton or something like that, and it's just him in Call of Duty. It's really bizarre.
That is weird.
But even as opposed to shooter game maps that are based on Grand Prix racing, Overwatch 2 had a map that was basically Monaco. Like it's weird how this is, like these two worlds are kind
I can
of
see how this works out now, that some kid, Call of Duty always goes over the top with stuff, but someone who's easily traumatized, who also happens to be an F1 fan, after they play this, they're going to go back and they're just going to be sitting there rocking back and forth in their chairs when they're watching an F1 race, because they're getting flashbacks to Nam.
Okay.
I am wondering if, like, because you can get like certain kill streaks where if you get like 8 kills, you get attack dogs. If you get 25, you get a tactical nuke. I wonder if you get 33 kills, does Max Verstappen come along and just force you off the track?
No, there's the joke.
No, if you get that many kills, Michael Massey stops the race and then you do it. Moves you closer to the guy in first.
I was going to say, maybe if you get to the end, you get to the 50 kills you need to win the match, and then all of a sudden the game decides that the other person won anyway.
Oh, yeah. That's... okay, two thoughts I'm having right now. A, that is totally Lewis Hamilton. How did I not know about this?
It's mad, isn't it?
I had to go look this up.
Okay, now you got me curious. Go ahead. What did you Google search there?
It's Lewis Hamilton in Infinite Warfare.
Yeah. It is 100% Lewis Hamilton. You cannot... Yeah. There's even a picture of him in the little mocap suit.
Yeah, yeah, he voiced and mocapped it all. It was really quite strange.
That's interesting. The other thought I'm having is that this isn't...
What?
Yeah, I know, right?
The more worrying thing is that the villain in that one was Kevin Spacey, and that's even worse now with the benefit
of
hindsight.
Oh, yeah, it is even worse now.
Oh, Sato retribution. Wow.
Okay. So,
is that referring to Takuma Sato at the time?
I don't know.
Step back towards sim racing.
What is a younger Lewis Hamilton on that? So that's all I'm wondering. Back in his McLaren days.
Well, he was still a Mercedes then, but never mind.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure enough. Yeah.
Yep. Taking a step back towards sim racing for a second. This also isn't the first time that we've had a discount version of an F1 track. The one that I'm bringing to mind at the moment is...
Let alone one that you can't play on.
Well, not quite. There was a discount version of Monaco in one of the Gran Turismos, and I don't remember which one, and I don't remember what the name of the... What name Gran Turismo gave it.
So that first appeared... Azure Circuit, or...
Yeah, Côte d'Azur.
Yeah.
Which appeared in... Gran Turismo 3 for the first time, and if I'm not mistaken, that's the actual name of the circuit.
It's the version because Monaco have a weird thing where they have licensed the name Monaco.
Yes.
So you can have the track, but you can't call it Monaco, otherwise I guess Prince Albert gets really angry or something. Mm. So all the games that don't officially have the Monaco licensing, i.e. anything that isn't Formula 1, list it as Côte d'Azur, so that's why it's that in R-Factor 2, that's why it's that in Project Cars, etc.
I was going to say, isn't there one in Project Cars 2?
Indeed.
Cars as well. Yeah.
It's just like putting Le Mans on any of your game. The ACO have put a trademark on Le Mans, so you can't call it Le Mans, so that's why all the tracks are called Le Sarthe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is the actual name of the circuit anyway, so.
Yeah. Yeah, it's probably, we're going to be seeing that a lot nowadays, because as we've seen, with the rise of popularity of sim racing, companies who own the rights to certain names and to certain series have been cracking down on making sure that they're getting money from their quote-unquote property. So
yeah,
I'm interested to see if this does go through, just because like what Jordan said earlier, it's literally the Singapore track layout. I'm wondering if it's going to be changed. And
I don't think it will, because we've seen far more egregious blatant copyright infringements in games like Grand Theft Auto and stuff like that, without there being any kind of comeuppance for it. So I would imagine this will probably just stay. And if anything else, I think Formula One might just view it as some kind of weird free promo.
At the same time, it is a street circuit as well, so if anything, the streets are public domain, so you can make a map out of whatever you want.
Yeah, that
you
is
just
true.
Happen to choose to set it on a Grand Prix weekend, and they're getting around it by not calling it the Singapore Grand Prix, or Singapore Formula One Grand Prix.
So, I'm not sure where I'm going with this question, but are there other maps on Call of Duty that it's literally like, oh, this is clearly this place? Or are they all just kind of...
There are. Like, there's one map that was in the last one, which was legit Piccadilly Circus in London. And you've had in the original Modern Warfare 3, they recreated the Wall Street banks and stuff like that. So they do quite often use real locations. I guess the only difference with this one is that this is held in a real location at the time where it is hosting a Grand Prix. So, but I mean, Formula One is so determined to host Grand Prix on every single street in the world that, I mean, you can't copyright every street, I guess. So yeah, Lewis is right. It could be any street, even though it's obviously this street.
Give the FIA and ACO enough time, they'll figure out a way to copyright a street.
I'm sure they will.
I was going to say, another prime example is for real locations. In the very first Modern Warfare, yes, the very first one, not the reboot, they go into the town of Pripyat outside of Chernobyl.
They do indeed, and that's a very good mission.
Yes, it is. It's a very difficult one, too. At the same time, you know, nobody has, that's all public domain stuff, so you can't exactly relabel stuff, and they have all the actual logos that were on the buildings as they were abandoned.
Mm.
So.
Yeah. I also, just before we move on, I just want to point out and appreciate the nondescript brand names that they've come up with for this map, like synthetic lubricant.
Yeah. And that's where they would get the copyright infringement, is through those types of things.
Yeah. Yeah, but even Sim Racing Games does that too. Like Project Car 2, it's
every Pirelli, single sponsor.
Pirelli is
Pirelli?
Beer something. It's like it still begins with P, but it's not quite Pirelli. But
It's the GTA school of licensing.
Yes.
Yeah.
And also, just before we wrap this up, I also want to give kudos to the Call of Duty social media manager who, when they announced this, worded it exactly like Oscar Piastri's Alpine announcement. We understand that with our agreement, Infinity Ward have announced that they have designed a Grand Prix map as a part of the Modern Warfare 2 beta. This is right, and the map will be playable for the 2022 beta. We will be playing on Grand Prix in Modern Warfare 2 this year. That is just golf clap.
Mm-hmm.
So... And to fully tie this back into motorsport, one of the head developers of Call of Duty is Mr. Patrick Kelly, and that is the same guy who races an LMP2 car in IMSA.
That is indeed, yeah. Oh. I remember hearing that during Road America, during the coverage of the IMSA.
He's actually the defending LMP2 champion. He made his debut at Le Mans this past year. So,
oh, there you go.
So yeah, and I think he's doing
full circle.
Yep. Yeah, and I believe he's doing all the endurance races this year. So,
yep. And I just also want to point out that that same tweet that Jordan mentioned earlier, iRacing, and it doesn't feel like a simcast unless we talk about iRacing in some way. iRacing responded with the Captain America, I understood that reference meme. So, there you go.
Yay.
Yeah. Very weird news week this week.
It is.
It is, yeah. But from one game that has AI that you might kill, mm-hmm. to a game where with an AI that, if it's smart enough, it might actually learn to kill.
It'll kill you on the racetrack anyway.
It's definitely smart enough to kill you on the racetrack, that's for certain.
It's only a matter of time. I've seen 2001 A Space Odyssey. I know how this ends.
I, for one, welcome our new robot overlords.
We're in 2022 now, gentlemen. I think we're safe.
You say that. You say that.
I didn't say from next year. I said for this year.
Mm-hmm. I just want to remind everyone that...
Everybody's probably wondering what the heck has actually happened to this show, because we haven't been on sim racing for a
minute. I just want to remind everyone that 2015 was 7 years ago, and if you believe Back to the Future, we were supposed to have hoverboards and flying cars by this point, so...
So disappointing.
Yep.
No, the flying cars thing actually was supposed to happen back in 2000.
Fair enough. Anyway.
In the new millennium, cars will fly. Yeah, I see we're right on that track there. Here we are 22 years later.
Yeah. Anyway, so getting back on track here for the last 50 minutes of the show, Gran Turismo Sophie. So we talked about Gran Turismo's new scarily good AI a couple of different times on this show. I believe it is set to replace all Gran Turismo 7 AI soon, isn't it? If it hasn't already.
Soon. It hasn't yet.
Okay. Yeah. So...
Everybody's asking about it, that's true.
Yeah, just to kind of remind everyone what we said about this in the past, they took the Sophie AI into GT Sport and set a lap of the Nürburgring 3 seconds faster than one of the fastest, if not the fastest, Gran Turismo players of all time.
Yes.
The AI is just that good. So what we...
By utilizing every track exploit there possibly is down to a T.
Yes.
Which is what you would expect out of a computer.
Yeah. So what Sony AI YouTube channel, which if you want to see this video, go check it out. It's actually really fascinating. They've started a series about just kind of giving the behind-the-scenes story of the development of Sophie AI and how that all started. This is actually something that started with, as they described it, it literally started with one of the main Gran Turismo developers and just a bunch of interns in 2020 just to see what would be available, what they can actually push the AI to do. And one of the interns, Florian, I'm not sure how to pronounce his name without making it sound like a certain word.
See where I can find you at here and help you out.
I would say Fuchs.
Fuchs? We're going to go with Fuchs.
Yeah, Fuchs.
Yeah. Florian Fuchs, who generated the first
version. At least he didn't say the other thing, but.
Yeah. The first version of Sophie in 2020, right in time for the pandemic to start. So what ended up happening is that Fuchs had to take 9 PlayStation 4s home to his tiny apartment in Tokyo, and he basically ran those 9 PlayStation 4s nonstop for several days, just trying to get the AI to learn how to race. Apparently, and this is in the video, you can go check, it caused a 500% increase in his electric bill. Luckily,
Jesus.
Sony was paying for it. And also because it was 9 PlayStation 4s, you can imagine how hot and loud his apartment was during this time.
I was going to say, my PlayStation 4 runs incredibly hot. I'm pretty sure I could fry an egg on it if I really wanted to.
Yeah, all of the modern consoles seem to run a little bit hot. Like, even just like modern gaming technology in general runs hot. Because if you want to get into the minutia of like liquid coolers versus having enough fans and whatnot for PC gaming, just imagine what the console world is like. I've seen like several aftermarket console cooling devices where it's like it's literally just a plastic cone that you put on top of your Xbox or your PlayStation to funnel more air into the cooling.
Oh, yeah. Well, remember what was it back with the Xbox 360s? The Red Ring of Death that was caused by overheating more often than not.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people started getting the fans to attach to blow air out. In my case, I rigged up a couple of old computer fans to where it blew cold air in. Yeah. So.
Anyway, so through all of this, Fuchs was able to get the attention of the full force of the Sony AI development behind him, just because he was able to make so much process, and through them they were able to create this amazing AI. And they actually talked about how in the video where they had to learn how to race in order to teach the computer how to race, and there's also some really some really funny clips that it looks like, if you've ever seen the videos of the autonomous race cars that fail badly. Mm-hmm. It kind of looks like that, except there's 3 of them all at the track at the same time, and they're just all running into each other.
Demo Derby!
Yeah, so I just found the video very interesting, and just like everything that they went through just to figure out how to train the AI just to have raw pace, how to give it racecraft, how to like race fairly, all that kind of thing. So this is definitely, if we don't cover it on the show, this is definitely a series I'm going to be paying attention to in my own time.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to look at the video in full just yet, and it definitely does seem interesting. Which it's kind of a good way to market your new AI and try to build it up, I would have to say. Show its origin story, because we already know its capabilities.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of in the same boat as everybody else, actually. I just can't wait for it to come back in, because admittedly, the AI that's in there now is probably the closest to realistic that we've had. So I'm curious to see how they would incorporate Sophie, and if it's in fact more realistic, to where the AI has awareness that the player is here, I should put my car here. Not, the player is here, I'm going there anyway, shotgun, see ya.
Yeah. So, definitely an interesting project for certain, and something I'll be paying attention to at least. Anyway, so last 10 minutes of tonight's show, it's time for the esports roundup of the week, brought to you by The Gaming Athlete.
I'm not going to do it just for Jordan's sake. I'll be nice.
Wow. I had already turned down my headset in preparation.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
It's time for this week's esports
roundup. Esports roundup of the week, brought to you by The Gaming Athlete. You do it, folks. You set him up.
It's time for this week's esports roundup of the week, brought to you by The Gaming Athlete. Head over to thegamingathlete.com to learn about how to reach athlete status in gaming by maximizing your performance and restoring your well-being. Once again, that's thegamingathlete.com.
Pretty sure Jordan is never going to trust me ever again.
That's bold, fine.
Bold of you to assume that he already did.
When you're locked in this room for as long as I have been, you learn where things stand.
I see what it is now. You guys have changed the locks. You just decided to lock him in. Got to make sure he's out of the room first.
Spoilers. Anyway. So, we don't have a series to round up this week, but we do have a esports championship announcement to go over.
Yay! And that one is?
That one is the INSA Esports Global Championship on iRacing.
Huzzah!
Yeah. So we saw how IMSA has partnered with iRacing in the past, particularly during the pandemic, to produce both the Pro Invitational and actually a Pro Series on the platform. This is continuing on with that same type of vein. However, it's a bit of a different format. Starting this October, people will be able to qualify for a 4-round championship on iRacing using GT3s and TCR, which is an interesting combination since that's not one we see in IMSA competition at this time.
Uh-uh.
Well, I think it's born out of a necessity in the fact that iRacing at the moment has the only there's a bit of a focus on manufacturer involvement in this, and the only classes that we realistically have available right now that involve manufacturers would be GT3, GT4, and TCR.
Yeah.
And GT4 and GT3 isn't fun, personally. So, you know, having GT3, they have more GT3s and GT4s, and GT3s and TCRs, I should say, that are manufacturer affiliated within IMSA on iRacing than they would do in any others. Like we saw with the IMSA Pro Invitational Series, that they use the P2s, but they aren't really manufacturer efforts because they're spec cars. So,
yeah.
It's a happy medium, and it's an interesting combination, GT3 and TCR.
Most definitely.
So I'm actually wondering if this is going to preempt a possible event that's going to be happening next year? Because I don't know if you're aware of the IMSA schedule, but they're splitting up GS, which is the GT4 cars, to run Detroit only, and then the Lime Rock race for Michelin Pilot Challenge is going to be TCR only. At least that's what they're scoring as. So I'm wondering, because if the TCR count's going to be kind of low, which admittedly I do not want to see 12 cars go around for a 2-hour race, if they're not going to go ahead and throw them out there with the GT3 cars and make it a super IMSA event, because if I'm not mistaken, there was only 15 cars in the IMSA race at Lime Rock this past year as well.
That sounds right.
I quite like that idea, to be honest, and that does make a lot of sense, because I've often seen those standalone events for the GT3 cars and thought, this sucks. Like, there's just not enough. So
yeah, Lime Rock was admittedly pretty good, but I think that's because of the close nature of Lime Rock. The true test, I think, is going to be at VIR when I do that race later on this year. But that's why I think this is possibly a virtual test bed to see how the cars compete on track together. I don't know.
Yeah, and we see in other championships, GT3 and TCR mix, notably in the NLS Nürburgring Endurance Series. Mm-hmm. So that's I like that idea. IMSA, if you're listening, listen to Lewis. I like that plan. But anyway, back to the virtual series.
I'm just blown away that Jordan just absolutely totally gave me credit for something.
You occasionally come up with a good ideas.
Occasionally, yes.
We do occasionally talk about some recent news in the show too, so it's fitting. Yeah.
What were we talking about earlier? Oh, that's right, Modern Warfare.
Yes, we were talking about shoot 'em up games. Anyway, so this will include a full broadcasting on iRacing and the RaceSpot YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch channels. I hope that means that the crew from IMSA TV will be joining them like they did for the Pro Invitational. And all the races will start in the early afternoon and for the U.S. Eastern time zone and take 2 hours and 40 minutes.
A traditional race length, okay.
Yeah. The planned races are Road Atlanta on Sunday, October 16th. We're going to Seca on Sunday, October 23rd, Indianapolis Motor Speedway on Sunday, November 6th, and Daytona International Speedway on Sunday, November 20th.
Seeing that November 20th makes me wonder if we got to work on Thanksgiving again this year, Ben.
We probably do have to work on Thanksgiving again.
Man, we had a good run there with 2 years in a row.
I'll just do the show solo. It's all right.
Welcome to the Jordan Show, where we do occasionally.
Well, we do occasionally talk about Jordan Groves.
But no, what I like about this series is, as I mentioned a second ago, is what they're trying to do with the manufacturer involvement. Mm-hmm. So it looks like they're kind of taking a leaf out of the book of what has happened with Virtual Le Mans, where we've seen a number of the real teams in WEC partnering with esports teams to lead their efforts, which just makes sense. You know, you take their expertise and mix it with your own. And so what they're doing is, according to the IMSA president, John Doonan, the plan is to encourage the esports organizations to develop working relationships with the manufacturers. So the manufacturers that would be eligible for this would be BMW, Ferrari, Honda, Hyundai, Lamborghini, McLaren, Mercedes, and Porsche. So you get them, put them with some esports teams, and then cash money. So BMW, I'm almost sure, will go to Redline because they already kind of have a link through the Le Mans series. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure other partnerships, you know, there's the Mercedes AMG esports team. Surely they will be involved with that.
I was gonna say, also look for Mercedes to join up with potential Satellite and Daniel Morad and have Moradness as a sponsor on that one.
Makes a lot of sense. Porsche obviously have a link with VRS Coanda in both iRacing events already and in Virtual Le Mans. So, yeah.
VRS is also a subsidiary of Satellite Racing.
There you go.
So
That was one thing I really liked when IMSA last got involved during the pandemic racing, as Ben said earlier, was that whilst a lot of other series just put all of their real drivers in the sim and didn't really include anyone from esports, IMSA were very keen on combining drivers from IMSA in reality and esports drivers. Mm-hmm. You know, it's sort of like a pro-am kind of lineup, but you occasionally get the real racing drivers who are very, very good at sim racing as well, which is a little unfair, but that's just how it works. So I do like that IMSA are continuing to marry the two worlds rather than just invade. So
at the same time, that's kind of how IMSA works to begin with already, because it does take a lot of well-known names, for instance, a Kevin Magnussen, and he puts him out there with somebody who nobody's ever heard of, like a Patrick Kelly, who designs video games and makes his money that way and decides to spend it coming racing.
Yeah.
So the sim racing marketing thing, like you suggested there, the other series, they kind of had no choice but to put their big name guys out there because that was the draw. Nobody else is going to watch a sim race with nobody racing.
That's a very good point.
Quote, nobody racing.
Yeah.
So I think what you're referencing there, IMSA is the only one that could get away with it, and they absolutely did, and they knocked it out of the park.
Yeah. And because it's IMSA, and much like I said earlier, I assume that also means that much like we saw the Pro Series during the pandemic, it's going to include the IMSA graphics. It's going to look like an IMSA race. It just so happens to be taking place virtually.
I was going to say, didn't iRacing introduce an update to where you could do something like that on their stuff, or am I thinking of something else?
That was RenSport with their
RenSport. That's what it was.
Yeah. But that would be a cool way to bring that to iRacing. Hint, hint. Yeah. But, and furthermore, as you were saying, you know, having Hindy on board made it not only did everything look right, it sounded right when you have the right commentators as well.
Mm-hmm.
And being very cheeky, you know, if they're emerging esports drivers with real drivers in this series, maybe they could merge real commentators with esports commentators.
Or a certain subsidiary of RSL Studio podcasters.
One that covers esports, perhaps.
Perhaps, yes.
Oh, what
an idea. And hey, guess what? There's four people on that show, and there's four different races. Oh my goodness.
Huh. I wonder if there is such a show that exists that they do talk about sim racing news.
I'm wondering. Nah, they occasionally do, so I doubt they'll get it.
Who has took my joke? Darn it.
I heard it was the RSL Call of Duty podcast, but...
Oh, yeah. Anyway, from what I can tell, to be able to qualify for this series, it's going to function like your typical iRacing series, where you'll be able to sign up for it, but it's only the top split guys who are going to get all the love, basically, from what I can tell from this, because there isn't a lot of details that have been made available about this yet, so... We definitely will be talking about this more in the future and, of course, covering the races in this part of the show. Anyway, though, it is unfortunately time to end. Thank you all for listening. I've been Ben, Lewis has been eating tacos, and Jordan has been disgusted by this fact.
Hashtag eat more tacos.
Good night, everyone.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, subscribe to the Simcast wherever you get your podcasts.